done.
This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين وخاتم النبيين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban to the listeners of Al Ansar International, Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba Online, the voice of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, to this edition of Q&A coming to you live from the studios of Markaz Sahaba Online on this day, the 18th of Safar, 1443, corresponding to the Gregorian date, 26 September 2021, kindly and generously sponsored by the Capital Group of Companies. Alhamdulillah, we have our esteemed Mufti and resident Amir Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafizahullah online in our studio. But before we proceed with our questions, we first have our Zakah Nisab, which is at 6,920 rand presently, and the Mahar Fatimi is at 17,295 rand. The minimum Mahar for the Hanafi Madhab is at 345 rand, the Maliki Madhab 175, and of course the Shafi Madhab and the Hanbali Madhab has no minimum Mahar. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa ana khali, jazakallahu khairan.
Now, our first question, can I please have a dua to read for a person who is in a state of unconsciousness?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulihil Kareem, amma ba'd, all praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla has taught us in the noble Quran, Surah Fatiha, that the person should read 7 times. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the Ummah. The hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. Secondly, the entire family, when a person is in coma and so forth, should read La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min az-zalimin abundantly. Likewise, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, the hadith is mentioned in the Marasil of Imam Abu Dawood, and that is Dawu mardakum bi sadaqa, that one type of dawa and medication you should give for the people who are ill and sick is you give out some charity to Muslim or non-Muslim, whether it is in cash or in kind. And the hadith, as I mentioned, in Marasil of Imam Abu Dawood. If the person is conscious, then the best dua for him or her to read will be Surah 21, and that is in the 17th Juz, 17th Supara, and verse number 83, the dua of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu salam, Anni massaniya durru wa anta arhamur rahimin. Oh my beloved Allah, that what has happened, a calamity has struck me, whilst you Allah are the most merciful one to show mercy. So we the family should always remain positive in the mercy of Almighty Allah, and Allah Jalla wala give all of them who are ill in coma, unconsciousness and so forth, shifa-e kamil.
My brother passed away. He is survived by 2 sons, his wife and my mother. How must his estate be distributed?
In a case like that, remember that when a person passes away, first thing we should make dua for the person. And we the Ummah, whenever we hear a Muslim, Muslimah passed away, first thing we say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Verily we belong to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla, and unto Almighty Allah is the return. You know, in my trip now, now. I went to the graveyards and cemeteries there in Senegal. Our brother Ismail Katrada passed away. And there in Bloemfontein to the new graveyard, our sister Rabia Musa passed away. These were avid listeners of our programs. Allah Jalla Wala grant all of them Jannatul Firdaus. And to all the people there in Kroonstad, in Senegal, Bloemfontein, and Tabanchu, Jazakumullahu khairan for a wonderful, wonderful program. And we returned this morning about 11:15, 11:30 back to Lanesia with the help and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala. So when your father passed away, the husband passed away, so what should you be reading? Surah 59, Surah Hashr, in the 28th Supara, 28 Jews, verse 10. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Oh, beloved Allah, forgive us and forgive our brothers, sisters who passed away before us with Iman. So that's the first dua every one of us should memorize and by heart it. And the second dua, chapter 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse 41. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Oh, beloved Allah, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents and the believers the day the reckoning is established. Thereafter, from the estate of the deceased, you pay the burial expenses. If a family member, friend wants to pay, alhamdulillah. Second, the debts of the deceased must be paid, personal debts, business debts, all debts immediately. And justice delayed is justice denied. If that person made a wasiya means to bequeath, whether verbally, orally, or wrote it down, and for none is a person, an organization, maximum will be 1/3 of the net estate, and that must be implemented as well. So that will be burial expenses, debts of the deceased, when whatever wasiya has been made for none is, and maximum 1/3. Then comes the shares of the heirs. So now you mentioned Mona Khalid Yaqub that the husband passed away. He was survived by his wife. So she will receive 12.5%. And then there's a mother, the biological mother. So she will inherit 1/6. Remember, that's compulsory. So it means 12.5% and 1/6 is just under 17%. So that will be around almost 29-30%. And then there are two sons. So remember the remainder 70-71% approximately. So that will be shared equally between the two sons. And if the deceased has any siblings, brothers, sisters, they all are deprived, they will not inherit a cent. Why? Because the son or sons are there, they will deprive them. Yes, if that person, whilst he or she was alive, in this case he, so remember if they made wasiya, they bequeathed for their brother or sister, then that will come under category 3, and that is the bequeathing and bequest and so forth and so on.
I am overpowered by debts. Can Mufti advise me with some dua that I can read to relieve myself from this condition?
Remember that today the Ummah, we live in a secular system and we live in a capitalistic system, and they promote all these vices as far as Islam goes. So people want to keep up with the Jones, change the furniture, change the carpets, change the car, change this. So all that, and then just keep on swiping the card, the credit card and so forth. So obviously you're going to end up in serious problems afterwards. Therefore, I want to bring this to your attention, the esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and of Radio Al-Ansar International, Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith mentioned in Sunan Nasai, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wa al-dain. Oh, beloved Allah, Jalla wa Ala, I seek protection from kufr, and that is disbelief and death. That is Dain. The Sahaba, the beloved students who were there, they were astonished and amazed. And they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so waited Dain bil kufri, Ya Rasulullah, is like you almost equated debts with blasphemy and disbelief. Qala na'am. The Master alayhi salam said yes. So meaning that we as Muslims must stay a away, lead a debt-free life, a sin-free life as far as possible. So that is what Islam teaches us. So you, my brother, you must look and your family, your wife, your children, what you want to do, just to show off and tell people, I did this, I did this, but everything belongs to the banks or belongs to other people. So remember that, read this dua, mentioned in Musnad Ahmad and in Bulughul Maram and various compilations. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ghalabati deen. Oh, beloved Allah, I seek your protection from the debts overpowering me. Min ghalabati deen wa qahri rijal, and the pressure that the creditors are applying on me. Read again. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika. Ya Allah, I seek your protection. Min ghalabati deen, the debts overpowering, overwhelming me. And wa qahri rijal, you know, the lawyers' letters will come and the people will try and meet you and you will feel embarrassed. So lead a simple life and then Allah will help you, inshallah.
Is it permissible to read Rabbana Zalamna in sajda of the Fard Salah and other short Arabic du'as after the tashahhud and the durood Ibrahim?
Remember that all these Rabbanas, you know, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasanata wa qina adhaban nar. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min khasirin. In sajda, very good to read it, is encouraged. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith mentioned in Muslim Sharif Sahih Muslim, أقرب ما يكون العبد من ربي وساجد. The nearest the servant, the slave, comes to the mercy of Almighty Allah is whilst we are in sajda. We surrender, we submit ourselves to Almighty Allah in prostration. And فأكثروا فيه الدعاء. So make abundant dua in that posture, in that position. There in Bloemfontein, mashallah, brand new masjid, Masjid al-Siddiq. So I gave them a talk on Friday, half an hour. I'll give the full report back tomorrow, inshallah, Aziz, Monday. And that will be between 2 and 2:30. And I told them the topic is meme. Meme for masjid, meme for mimbar, meme for mihrab, meme for muswalla, meme for muswalli, meme for mutawalli. So many memes you find, everything related to the masjid. So I told them, why masjid? Because Allah loves that sajda. Masjid, masajid, the place of sajda. So when you are reading, my sister, your salat, and you read all these du'as in Arabic, Quranic du'as, authentic ahadith, it's fine, permissible. Similarly, in your qada akhira, your last sitting, final sitting, after tashahud and salawat and durood sharif, and before salam, you read those du'as, totally permissible, no problem. However, for us, the man, the imam, he must use his discretion. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man amma minkum fal yukhaffifi salat. That when you are making imamat, then you must not lengthen the salat and make it so long. You must shorten it. Shorten it don't mean that you just read Subhana Rabbiyal A'la one time, two time, no. Imam Sufyan Thawri rahimahullah, Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith. If you want to know who is Imam Sufyan Thawri, Amirul Mu'minin fil Hadith, then procure the book, mashallah, which I have, and I met the author also, Sheikh Abdul Halim Mahmood. He was Sheikh al-Azhar, a giant of a scholar. What an excellent book. So he, Imam Sufyan Thawri, rahimahullah, states, and if you want reference of what I'm saying now, open Tirmidhi Sharif. And I, in my tour now to Free State, some imams, I even called them and I told them that this is what you need to do when you perform your ruku and sajda and so forth. So you must remember that when you are the imam, so say Subhana Rabbiyal A'la five times. So the people behind you can read it properly three times and so forth. But now you can't be reading all lengthy du'as, because then the first salat will take 12-15 minutes, like for example Zohar, Asr and so forth. So what you should do, that minimum du'as you read, for example you read Subhana Rabbiyal A'la and then Rabbana Atina Fid Dunya, for example, so that is permissible, no problem with that.
Can Mufti Saab just elaborate on what's the latest developments in India?
Remember that before we come to India, you must know what the Quran Sharif teaches us. Surah 5, Surah Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse number 82. And there Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla teaches us, لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. So what is the meaning of this verse? The meaning of the verse is, you will find now and in the future, you Muslims, your worst enemy. It don't mean everyone, but majority of them. Your worst enemies are who? لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً, who have enmity, hatred for you. الْيَهُودُ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. For the people of Iman are the Jews and the Mushriks, the idol worshippers. So you see what is happening in Palestine, more than 70 years occupation, almost every day they are killing people and so forth and so on, and the world and the Arab tenpot dictators, the Ghaddar, the traitors, all silent. So you must remember this type of things. They'll rather side with the rogue apartheid regime of Israel. So Israel became the teacher, and India from 2014 onwards, after the BJP came into power, so remember, they're applying the same tactics. Go see, yesterday I sent out to all the groups of ours, Assam, and what is happening in Assam. So you must remember how they are mercilessly killing, murdering the Muslims there. And where is the crowd? Where is the Ummah? That when Modi was meeting Biden, when they were meeting there in the White House, hardly you will find anybody asking him, for Modi, that what way is your democracy regarding the Muslims who are treated like second, third, fourth class people. So you must remember in India and so forth. So we must realize what the Quran Kareem teaches us is 100% the truth. So Palestine, they said they want to make it a Jewish state. And definitely they will lose that, because the hadith, open Abu Dawood, open Musnad Ahmad, open Mishkat Sharif, you will find the ahadith of Khurasan. And Khurasan means part of Afghanistan, part of Uzbekistan, part of Iran, part of Tajikistan. All these areas together, that constitutes that Khurasan. And they will come, and inshallah, Hazrat Mahdi will be their leader, and then they will liberate Al-Iliya. Iliya is your Palestine, Jerusalem, Al-Quds, and so forth. So the writing is on the wall for these people, the Jutlas, remember that. Definitely, and Quran teaches us that. Open chapter 17, inshallah, tomorrow morning. We'll be starting with that, you know, in our program. Remember, listeners, that in the morning, tomorrow, we'll be starting at 10 to 5, 4:50. Adhan will go at 4:45, and then I'll start at 10, that will be 10 to 5, 4:50, inshallah. And that's where we'll be starting chapter 17. And if you just read the first 10 verses, you will see, Almighty Allah speaks of the defeat of the Jews and what a threshing, whooping they will get. Just like the Americans and NATO and the 48 countries coalition, the whooping, threshing, humiliating they received at the hands of the Taliban. Trump said it correctly, the worst and most humiliating defeat in the history of America. So that awaits the rogue apartheid regime of Israel. What awaits India? So you must remember, the hadith is authentic. And if you have Sunan Nasai, Imam Nasai rahimahullah has mentioned the hadith, and his hadith is sahih. Isabatan min ummati ahrazahumullahu min an-nar. There are two groups and two parties of my ummah, and Allah will protect them from Jahannam and the hellfire. Isabatun taghzul Hind. One group, one party will be fighting against India. So you can see that what the mushriks and idol worshippers and them are doing there, and Almighty Allah will decimate and destroy them in time to come. And the second party, wa isabatun taghzu ma'a Isa ibn Maryam, and they will be fighting with Nabi Isa alayhi salam in Palestine, Syria, Biladu Sham, and that is the Levant, Jordan, all these areas there. So remember, many things still to happen. So may Almighty Allah make us of those parties. And all these countries who are oppressing the Muslims, remember you as a Muslim. You must expose them and so forth, as long as you know you have the correct evidence and proof. And you non-Muslims, you are the people of justice, some of you. You are the people of conscience, some of you. You should raise all these issues. America wants to talk. You must remember of democracy, human rights. Where's the woman's rights for the Taliban in Afghanistan? So I ask the American dictatorship, where is the human rights for my brothers in Guantanamo Bay? Where is the human rights for my sister, Dr. Afia Siddiqui? So all this is just double standards, hypocrisy of the West. We have seen through them not 1,000 times already. That is just cheap talk from their side.
Is it permissible to accept money from a non-Muslim for a lillah-only project?
Remember, it depends what you mean by a lillah project. For example, you are building a library or something, and in a way like that, the library will be open to everybody, although that the Muslims might be the main contributors. So in a case like that, if a non-Muslim comes, Tom, Dick and Harry, Tom, Dick and Mary, and they say they want to contribute, so that will be fine. But if it is, for example, a masjid, a mosque, or a madrasa or something like that, so remember, although the fatwa verdict that gunjaish here, there is scope for that in Islam, but ethically we should not take from them, because alhamdulillah we have put up thousands and thousands of masajid with our mosque and madrasas and so forth with our own money, with our own resources. And once you start taking from them, then always remember that stain will remain. And secondly, what will happen, they might want to interfere. You must remember, in the activities of that madrasa or that masjid.
Must one pay zakah on premises?
You must remember that if you have houses, you have shops, you have properties and so forth, so on that there is no zakat. On the income that is derived and received after your expenses, then you pay 2.5% zakat, the compulsory charity, and that must be given to poor Muslims only. However, if people are buying flats or buildings and so forth for speculation, that with the intention, once they get the good price, they will sell it, so meaning it is on the market and the intention is to resell it, then remember it will be considered a stock in trade. And how the business person there in his shop, he has stock, material, hardware, what have you. So same thing here. So that premises, that house, that shop, residential property and commercial property, so you will take the current market value of it and you pay 2.5% zakat. That will be compulsory when the intention is to resell it.
My mother passed away. She got her shares from properties that we had in India. Two of my brothers told me my mother wrote a note and telling them that the money must be shared between them. Am I supposed to get something or not?
Remember that once your father passed away and now your mother received the money and so forth, and that property, that land, that house, whatever it is there in India, so every one of the heirs must get their proportionate share. So whether you are the son, you are the daughter, so they can't say that no, it must only go to the mother and her son, or the mother and the daughter, and the other sons or the other daughters will be deprived. All that is totally haram. Even if it is written like that, it's still haram. Quran Kareem is very clear on this issue. Surah number 4, chapter number 4, verse 14. After mentioning the shares of the heirs, Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla states, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودًا يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا. Who disobeys Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla and Mustafa, Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and goes beyond the limits. You increase someone's shares, you decrease someone's share, you disown somebody, you deprive somebody, you dakhilhu naran khalidan fiha, they go straight to Jahannam and the hellfire, and they stay there for a very, very long time. This is Allah's kalam, Allah telling us. So we must fear Almighty at Allah and look at the consequences and ramifications. وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. For such a person, remember, there will be a humiliating, disgraceful punishment. So therefore, all that will be haram, where one of the heirs, or the heirs, two, three of them are deprived and disowned. That paper means nothing. You tear it up and burn it. End of the story.
Is it permissible to read the Holy Quran from the phone without wudu?
Remember that best is to read the Quran Sharif from the noble Quran, the Quran Sharif we have in the book form, Dhalikal Kitab, La Rayba Fi. You know chapter 2 and verse 2, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala states that this book here, that is the Quran Sharif, there's absolutely no doubt in it. So that will be the best, and remember in that case there, that we must have wudu when we touch the noble Quran. And that is enshrined in the noble Quran, chapter 56 and verse 79. La yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun. None should touch the noble Quran, but except in the state of cleanliness, ablution, and so forth. However, today people have iPhones and iPads and tablets and so many other gadgets, and you know, the smartphones, ugly phones, whatever you want to call them. So, and they have the app there, the Quran Sharif. So sometimes you are traveling, you're in the plane, sometimes you're at the airport, sometimes you're in certain places. So if you read there, mashallah, then it's permissible without wudu also. Even in your home, it's permissible. But we should try and give preference to the noble Quran that is in the book form. But in traveling and all that, sometimes it's difficult. So if you read without wudu, yes, it is permissible.
My husband passed away. I am living with my two daughters. Is it the responsibility of my married son to take care of me?
100%, you must remember that when your husband passed away, Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. So all the children yourself, you should be reading Surah chapter 14, verse 41. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Oh, beloved Allah, forgive me. Forgive my beloved parents and the believers the day the reckoning is established. And remember that now the estate is winded up and what have you. Now you inherited, but maybe it's not such a large amount. It was a meager sum and so forth. So upon whom is the responsibility? Your son or sons is their responsibility. They must spend on you. And remember, if the daughters got their own money and so forth and so on, then, and they got extra, then they also should be spending upon you. They are not doing you a favor. It is something compulsory, mandatory upon them.
Now, Mufti Sahib, is the castle of Khaybar still there where the battle of Khaybar happened?
Remember, the battle of Khaybar took place in the month of Muharram. Somebody wrote an article here in our Lanesia local newspaper, and they say the battle, they were speaking about the month of Safar. So there are many, many inaccuracies in that article. I don't know who wrote it. The one thing they wrote there, that Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha got married in the month of Safar. That's also incorrect. Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu's nikah took place during the month of Ramadan, the second year after the Hijrah. Second one, you must remember, the Battle of Khaybar took place in Muharram, and it was in the seventh year of the Hijrah. And the person, remember, who has played a prominent role was Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Hence, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu's one title is Fatih Khaybar. I went there myself, Alhamdulillah, and you must remember that you will see the Qamus. Qamus is one of the big castles and forts. Don't use the word castle, rather use the word fort. And those forts are there. I saw it myself, and it's still there. And nowadays, when they give you a visit visa and tourist visa, they call it visit visa or whatever you, Tashiru Ziyara in Arabic, then you can go there, mashallah. You go there, you go, I've been to Tabuk and been to Ula. and Bint Madayne Sal is all on the same route. So if it's 150 kilometers from Medina Munawwara, so you must remember Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu conquered that, and remember that he was the person who played a prominent great role, hence he received the title of Fatih Khaybar, one of the conquerors of the Khaybar where the Jews were. And therefore our flowers, our children of Palestine, because they know the Arab regimes, all of them besides one, two, are 10-point dictators, most of them murtad and out of the fold of Islam. So remember, they said, we will take it to the end. We won't wait for the United Nations, we won't wait for America, we won't wait for UK. All these are criminals regarding Palestine. They took somebody else's land and gave it to the Jutlas. And then remember, if you study the history of Israel, the Haganah gang and the Haganah terrorists, the Stern terrorists, all that from those times already, before Israel was even established. So what happens is, our children and our Mujahideen of Palestine, they say, they have Iman in their hearts and they only have stones in their hands. Khaybar, Khaybar, Ya Yahud, Inna Jaysha Muhammad Sofa Yahud. They tell the Jutlas, and how much fear they put in their hearts. Remember that. That is a miracle to witness. I witnessed it myself, Alhamdulillah. That they tell the Jews and the Jutlas that, watch out. Remember, there was a battle of Khaybar, and your Khaybar is coming again. Inna Jaysha Muhammad Sallallahu, the army of Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we are coming back to punish you and defeat you. Khaybar, Khaybar, Ya Yahud, Inna Jaysha Muhammad Sofa Yahud. And every true Palestinian who's got Iman and has got Islam, what they say, we will never allow our first Qibla, Masjid al-Aqsa, even now they're busy with excavations and so many things. Birruh wa biddam nafadika ya Aqsa. What our spirit, what our soul, what our blood, we will liberate you, O Aqsa, and we will never give in. So that is what keeps them alive. Remember this. If you speak of these Arab countries and Muslim countries, they worship America more than they worship Allah, the bunch of murtads and ghaddar. They are the traitors to Islam, to the Muslims and Palestinians.
Inshallah, we will now go on a break and resume with the second segment after the break.